Well, I'm thankful we have that day to live for and to look forward unto. Appreciate the Lord this morning and ask that you would pray that the word of the Lord would have free course among us. The Lord bless his word. Written the power of two words, the power of yes and no. I'd like to begin in Daniel, the fourth chapter this morning. Daniel chapter 4, and beginning in the 34th verse, after the days that Nebuchadnezzar's mind was restored unto him, after he had been out eating grass as an ox for 7 years, at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High. And I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Nebuchadnezzar had quite an awakening. After he was glorifying himself and his own power and the majesty of his own kingdom, his understanding returned to him and he realized who's really God. He realized the one that's truly in control, whose dominion is not like the grass of the field, like earthly kingdoms are, but his kingdom is an everlasting dominion. And he said that he doeth according to his will in the armies of heaven. Who is able to stay his hand? Who is stronger than the Lord? Who is able to withstand the Lord and say, you're not to do that? The enemy has power today. But does his power match the power of Almighty God? By no means does his power match God's. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, John told us. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that we're serving a living and a powerful God. I'm thankful that there is none that can stay his hand. Whenever he wills for me to make heaven, then it doesn't matter what somebody else in the world might will. It doesn't matter what government might could come and overthrow ours. I'm thankful to be serving one and have my hopes in one that they cannot overthrow. They cannot overturn his plan of salvation for me. I don't care how deep this cancel culture might go. They cannot cancel his salvation. They cannot cancel the power of his blood. They cannot cancel the authority that is in his word. They can't do it. There's none that can say, stop. There's none that can stop his will from being accomplished. In the armies of heaven, his will is accomplished. His will is done. Psalms 135th verse. 135th chapter. I'm sorry, in the 6th verse. The 5th verse says, I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven, and in earth, and in the seas, and all deep places. The Lord created this world, and he looked upon it, and he said, it is good. It was right. He didn't need a billion years to evolve and perfect his creation. He spoke it. He did it. And it was good. Such is the power of our God. The word that he speaks is complete, it's whole, it's right, and it's good. As an aside, this has to do with different doctrines that men would teach. One of those being whether or not God's will is, always has been, and always will be accomplished inside of His heaven. Folks, I don't believe that anybody has or will stage a coup inside of God's heaven. I believe whenever our souls enter into that eternal haven of rest, folks, we are secure from the touch of rebellion. We are secure from the reach of Satan, safe in the arms of Jesus. That is the realm in which His will is accomplished. His will is done. The song talks about, I believe, something of along the lines, 10,000 angels wait for His voice. They do according to His will. You know, the stars and the planets and all do exactly according to His will, according to what He desires and He plans. So we can look at the trouble and the turmoil that's in our world today, but don't forget, our God is in control. Don't forget, He is the one that sets the bounds of our habitation. He's the one that defined when time began and will say when time ends. And until His word goes forth, seed time and harvest will happen over and over. Oh, I'm thankful that we serve such a God. And I want us to be encouraged and reminded in the power of our God. The children of Israel were told concerning the nations that were around them, you should not be affrighted because of them. Because our God is a mighty God. So it doesn't matter how tall the walls are. It doesn't matter how big your Goliath. It doesn't matter how wide the river that you have to pass over. It doesn't really matter. Don't allow your heart to be affrighted. Don't allow your courage to be dissolved whenever you see your giants. But remember that you serve a mighty and a living God. Colossians, the first chapter. Colossians 1 and 16 says, "For by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and by Him all things consist." In Acts it says, "In Him we live and move and have our being." It is because of Christ. Because of God. It's not because of science or scientists. It's not because of our technological advancements. And though we are given stewardship of our world that God created for us to inhabit, we don't hold its destiny in our hands by the kind of vehicle that we drive, by our carbon footprint. Folks, there is a God who is in control of things greater than we. By Him all things consist. By Him all things are held together. And Peter told us in the third chapter of 2 Peter concerning the last times. It said that all of this is held together. All of this is reserved and held in store against that day, the day of judgment of our God. The molecular structure that everything consists of in our world is held together by the power of God's word. And when, by the power of that same word, He says it is over, folks, everything as we know it will melt with a fervent heat, and it'll be over of things of this world. So I want to share those thoughts with you this morning as a foundation for what I want to consider pertaining to the words I've written on the board. The power of God. Let's look at Isaiah now, the first chapter. (Clears throat) Isaiah 1 and verse 2. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. I created this world. He created the honeybee to do exactly what the honeybee does. He created the homing pigeon to be able to lock in and have a magnetic internal compass to tell it exactly where to go. And on we could spend all day just touching on some of the highlights of God's creation that He created to do exactly what it does. And again, the hosts of heaven, the stars and the galaxies and all that we behold in the heavens that we're still trying to understand and scratch the surface of, it does according to the will of God. And it is because of the faithfulness of God and His unchanging nature that they could look years and years and years ago and say in 2024, what was it, April 9th or whatever the day was, there'll be a total solar eclipse that'll pass over this exact path because the hosts of heaven do exactly according to God's will. But there was part of God's creation that He created differently. And it was mankind. He didn't give a will or a choice or the power to say no to the animal kingdom, to the bodies of planets and the heavenly bodies. He didn't give the power of individual choice. But unto mankind He did. And it's why He put in the midst of the garden the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because without it, there was no ability to exercise this power that He had given unto mankind. That He, again, hadn't given unto animals. That geese don't get together in a confab every fall and say, why don't we go south every year? Why don't we head east this year? You know, why don't we just stay? They do according to how God programmed them, according to the will of God. But unto mankind, He said, and with the same intricate detail and care and thought, this is the way that you're to live. This is the way you should order your life. This is the way it's going to work perfectly for you. But I'm going to give you a choice. I'm going to give you the ability to say to me, yes or no. I want us to realize, and I pray that we'll be impressed this morning with the thought that unto mankind, unto each of us this morning, God has given the power to say no to Him. The same God that we've been talking about, that has all power in heaven and earth. This God who none can say in Him, stay your hand. That none can stop the Lord in what He wills and purposes to do. Yet He has willed and purposed in our lives to subjugate His will to ours. To give us the power to say no to God. The ox knows, but my people don't know. My people don't realize because they've turned from me. In the same chapter, it said in the 18th verse, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. How many times did the Lord tell His people, behold, I set before you life and death. Therefore choose life. Folks, in the great plan that God made wherein He wanted us to have the ability to choose, where there was a heaven, there had to be a hell. Where there was good, there would also be evil. God gave us the ability to choose. which path that we'd go on. But he pleaded with mankind, choose life, choose the right way. If you be willing, you can have the good. If you're willing, you can eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, if you choose the way of death, that's all that'll be left for you. Joshua, the 24th chapter, very familiar scripture that you might see or even have hung on your wall. Joshua 24 and verse 15. It says, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were on the other side of the flood, or the God of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You're going to have to choose which way you're going to go. You're going to have to choose the way you're going to take. Other people may choose what they will. But he says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Through our choice, God has given us the ability to harness the power of God in our lives. That we can say no to Him, or by yielding to the Lord, surrendering to Him, we can tap into that great power that He has. 1 Peter, the 4th chapter. 1 Peter 4 and 1, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. A choice. Which way are we going to live? To whom will we yield ourselves? Who will we say yes unto? Unto the flesh and the passions of the flesh, or unto God? It said you've spent enough time living to the flesh. You've spent enough time doing that. It's our choice that we yield ourselves unto God to do His will in our lives. This lust of the flesh, it means the desires, the passions, the impulses, a longing for that which is forbidden. And so it was that Eve looked on the one thing that she couldn't have. Out of everything else that she could. Isn't that the way the devil tries to paint it in people's minds? Oh, why has God said, why is God trying to deprive you? Why is God trying to not let you have any pleasure and any fun? And not realize that everything else in the world and in the garden was for our pleasure and our enjoyment. But the one thing that I can't have. That's the very thing that her heart went out after. And that story has repeated itself over and over and over again throughout people's lives. Let us choose life this morning. The song says, had I the choosing of my pathway, in blindness I'd go astray. If we had our own way, if we lived to our own desires, we'd go astray. We'd be lost. Jesus taught His disciples to pray and said, pray after this manner. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth just like it is in heaven. May that be our prayer. Lord, have Your will in my life. On earth here below, just as we know it is in heaven. I'd like to read to you now the words of a song that I don't know well enough to sing. But it says, I set the boundaries of the ocean vast, carved out the mountains from the distant past, molded a man from the miry clay, breathed in him life, but he went astray. I hold the waters in my mighty hand, spread out the heavens with a single span, make all creation tremble at my voice. But my own children come to me by choice. Even the oxen knows his master's stall, and sheep will recognize the shepherd's call. I could demand your love. I own you twice, but only willing love is worth the price. My holy word now I give to you as a shining lamp to guide you through. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Keep looking up, your heavenly home's in sight. I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. I write the music for the whippoorwills. Control the planets with their rocks and rills, but give you freedom to use your own will. And if you want me to, I'll make you whole. I'll only do it if you say so. I'll never force you, for I love you so. I give you freedom. Is it yes or no? Revelation, the 3rd chapter and 20th verse, Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door." Isn't that quite a picture of the same God that we started talking about, having all power in heaven and earth, and yet he stands knocking. He stands in almost a helpless position, subject to our choice, to our will. The day, of course, is coming when it won't be the day of man. It's called the day of the Lord. The day is coming when no man will be able to choose in that day. I don't want this day to come. Lord, I'm not ready. I don't want, won't have the ability. Nor does man often have the choice of when their life will end. Yet in this life, we have the power to choose, as the song said, not like the whippoorwill, whose song is written for it. But we have the choice what comes out of our lips. We have the choice of the decisions we'll make. And it begins, of course, with whether I'll open my heart's door to the Lord and be saved. But it's not that choice. I want us to realize that the power of God is harnessed in our life through the choices that we make every day. Who am I yielding myself to? Ephesians, the 3rd chapter. Ephesians chapter 3, the 20th verse. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. What kind of power is working within us? According to that power. It said in the 1st chapter, in the 18th verse, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. To what extent have I yielded myself to the working of his mighty power? He's able to do exceeding great and abundant things in our lives, as we yield and surrender ourselves to him. Again, not just a one-time decision in our lives, but every day of our life, yielding and saying yes to the Lord. Romans, the 6th chapter. It talks about surrendering of ourselves. Romans chapter 6, beginning in the 15th verse. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye become the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. You've spent enough of your days yielding yourself unto the flesh. And isn't that just about the way the flesh is and the world's mindset is? Why deny yourself anything? If it feels good, do it. If it seems right, do it. If it makes you happy, pursue it. If you call it love, don't say no to it. And just to pursue wholeheartedly the pleasures and the desires of the flesh. The scripture calls such people in one place a natural brute beast. Just fulfilling every earthly, sensual, temporal desire of the flesh. Why say no? There's no bridle. There's no governance. At least the brute beasts of the field are governed by God's will and the way He designed them to function within His nature. But we who have yielded ourselves as servants unto sin, we being mankind, become those servants. We become in bondage to that. What are we to do then with sin? What are we to do with the enemy of our souls? We're to do what Peter said in 1 Peter the 5th chapter. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Resist the devil. Resist him steadfastly. I've written again the power of yes and no. So I want us to come back to where we started, was the power of God. And then we talked about the power that God gives us to say no unto God or to say yes unto Him. If the Lord gives us such power to say yes or no to God, does He not give us that same power then to say yes or no to the devil, who is inferior in power to God? If He gives us the power of choice to be able to deny righteousness, to be able to say no to surrender to God, He gives us the same power then to be able to say no to sin, no to unrighteousness, no to the lusts of the flesh, no to the temptations that the enemy would bring against us. So resist him steadfastly. One place says, neither give place to the devil. Don't surrender one place for him to set his foot in your life and in your heart. Just as the Lord can only come in when we say yes and open the door. Folks, we can have the consolation of knowing no matter how wicked and evil this world is, the only entrance that Satan has is by us saying yes to him. By us opening the door of our hearts and our minds to the enemy. He's not able to just run roughshod over us. His power is not greater than the power of the Lord. We've got to say yes. And you can't say yes to both masters. You'll say yes to one and no to the other, or no to one and yes to the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. To whom are we yielding ourselves? Don't give place to the devil. Folks, it'd be easiest, if the enemy came to us with a forked tail and horns and a pitchfork or whatever you picture the enemy as, smells and just hideous, and he comes and says, "Let me tempt you with evil." If it was that way, it might would be easier for us to say, "No, I don't want what you're trying to peddle. I don't want what you have." But has the enemy ever come to you that way? That's not the way the enemy appeals unto people. You know how the enemy appeals unto people? Through our own thoughts. Through our own desires. It's what James teaches. Every man is tempted, not by God, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust, of his own, what do we say of lust? It's those desires, those passions, those impulses that the world says, don't deny your impulse. And that the internet, I'll say, has made things that were forethought decisions, premeditated decisions and paths to go down, has made it to where it's just impulsive decisions that can be made. But the enemy appeals unto people through their own desires. through thoughts that look like their own, through things that I think, well, that's what I want to do. That's what makes me happy. That's what makes me feel free in the world. Just free, free love, free thinking, free whatever you want. And yet they become the servants of bondage and sin. We heard about this morning, proof's in the pudding. I'm not impressed with the way the world's path is panning out for people. I'm not impressed with what their idea of marriage and love is producing in households and in families and in the youth of our country. I'm not impressed with what they call freedom. Because when you yield yourself to the freedom of the flesh, you really subject yourself under the bondage of sin. Oh, we're going to say yes to one or the other. But I pray the Lord again will just cause this somehow to sink into us. Nothing new, novel this morning. But the Lord gives us the power to say yes and the power to say no. And it doesn't look like the devil may come as an angel of light. He may come disguised like the very thing I've always wanted to do. And so what I'll find myself having to say no to isn't some guy with horns. It's the guy in the mirror. The one that I'm having to say no to is me. It's self. It's the flesh. That's why Paul said, I bring under my body. I've got to bring under my body and bring it into subjection. I was flying with Kevin yesterday and he said, when you're flying a plane, you fly the plane. You don't let the plane fly you. You know, the Lord has put our spirit inside the vehicle of this body. And this body gets hungry and it gets thirsty and it gets tired and all of those kind of things. But I got to fly the plane and not let the plane fly me. I've got to control by God's help and grace. I've got to say no to this vessel. No to this flesh. Whenever it tries to go out of bounds, whenever it tries to fly somewhere, whenever it tries to go in a way that's not pleasing to God, I'm the one that's got to say no. No, I'm not going there. That thought that just came to my mind, we talked a little bit about it last week. We can't control the emotions that come in. We can't control the thoughts that come to our mind. But what I can do is say no. What I can do is say, I'm not going there. I'm not going to think on those things. I'm not going to yield myself to that. I'm not going to look at that. I'm not going to go down a path that sets me in that direction. I'm not going to pitch my tent towards Sodom. No. You know, sometimes, didn't it say resist steadfast in the faith? Sometimes we have to say no, 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 all day long. No, I'm not going, no. Lord, help us to say no. Wasn't that a slogan of the 80s, 90s? Just say no. Whenever we had a drug pandemic just like we do now, there was a campaign that I believe Nancy Reagan launched that was trying to teach our youth of our nation, just say no. When there's peer pressure, when you're being pressured and you feel the pressure to conform and to just smoke a small, just say no. Just say no. You know, in later years, that program has been mocked. And I don't know what you think of whether it was successful or not. But that program was mocked. Saying that doesn't even get to the real problem here. By using that slogan, it suggests that people are drug addicts because of their own bad decisions. And by making a choice, you don't have to be that way. Color me old school then. Folks, I believe that the Lord gives us choice. I believe that we've got to take responsibility for our own decisions. My heart aches for people when I see children growing up in homes like that where dealing out the back door is all they've ever known. My heart goes out to them. What chance do they have? And yet, the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men. And it teaches us something. Remember what it teaches us? That denying ungodliness and worldly lust, saying no to those things, saying no to my friends, saying no to those influences, saying no to those thoughts, saying no to those feelings and those desires. But folks, there's a no muscle. Do you know that? We've got to build that no muscle. Sometimes I think maybe we just need to practice looking in the mirror and saying, no. No. There's a muscle in there, and the world, I fear, has lost it. You can't afford it, don't say no. Just go out and find a way. You want it, just say yes. There's a way. You deserve it. And the world is atrophied in this no muscle. When it comes to peer pressure, every one of us have or do or will face it. We just have to say no. But that's not the only thing we say, is it? We say yes unto God. Jesus said, well, let me finish the scriptures, quoted, grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, godly, righteous in this present world. Folks, this world, I believe, is craving righteousness and wholesomeness and soundness in our institutions. The world gets in an uproar when there's a corrupt politician, an impure politician. How are you living? What are you promoting over your TV shows and movies and airways? What do you expect? That's what we're producing by the path that we're going down. I believe that the world, whether they know it or not, yearns for something that is wholesome and pure and good. But to get it, you got to say no. You got to say no to the flesh so that you can say yes unto God. Jesus said, if any man will follow after me, let him deny himself. Let him say no to himself. Let him, and he said, take up his cross daily. There is a daily dying out. Sanctification is not a one-time trip to the altar, one and done. I believe in the scriptures teach a definite second work of grace where we come before that golden altar and bring ourselves as a vessel that has been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, and we are filled with the Holy Spirit. But we go on into perfection. It is a continual burning and purging of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We, as Paul said, we die daily from that moment on. Sanctification is not a cruise button. It's not press cruise or press autopilot like the Teslas and self-driving and just recline my seat and I'm just going to take it easy from here on out. I've still got to be in control. I've got to drive the car and not the car driving me. I've got to say no. I've got to say yes to the Lord whenever there's a choice to make. And it comes down to micro decisions that we make. Well, do I spend this time with the Lord or do I go do something? Not even talking sinful things. What am I going to do with my time today? How am I going to use myself? How am I going to give myself to the Lord today in this moment? How many decisions do we make in a day? I don't know. Don't think we could count them. You know, I want to say yes to the Lord and no to the enemy of my soul. Let's close in James, the fourth chapter. James chapter 4, verse 6, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Oh, aren't you thankful that we can resist the devil and he will flee from us? You know, there's also another key in that scripture. Submit yourself to God. There is a power that we can harness through surrender to God, through yielding ourselves to God, through saying yes to God, yes to His will, yes to righteousness, crucifying the flesh. I don't feel like doing it, but Lord, yes. Lord, my flesh cries out, I don't want, but yes. Yes, Lord. And Jesus battled through until He did that in the garden because He Himself was clothed in the flesh. And He said no to the flesh. And He said yes to God. Thank the Lord He did. Lord, not my will, not the will of this flesh, but Lord, Your will be done. And may the Lord help every one of us to do that every day of our lives. Say no to the flesh. Say no to the world. Say no to temptation. And say yes to God. Submit yourselves then to God. Yield yourself. Surrender yourself to God. Don't try to solve the equation with only one of these ingredients. Say, well, I'm going to submit to God, but temptation comes along and I just fall right in. Say no. Resist. Stand fast against the enemy. And yet I can stand fast all out. I resist you, Satan. I resist you, Satan. And I can be like the one who, what was it? He had seen the disciples calling out for the devils to be cast out of people. And so I'm going to try that too. I adjure you by this Paul, this Jesus that Paul preaches. Come out. And he didn't have the power. Those spirits came and leapt on him. Folks, we got to have ourselves submitted first to God. To have said yes unto God. Yes to the path that He wants me. Yes to His will. Yes to what He wants me to do. This moment, this hour, this day. And when I'm in that place then, I can turn and say no to the devil. And the Lord has my back. By saying yes, the power that God gives us to say yes and no, then I can harness that power that worketh in us by saying yes to God, and then the power of God working through me, I can turn and face the enemy who is stronger than me in my flesh and say no. By the power of Jesus Christ, no. By the grace of God, no. Thank the Lord this morning that He has created a plan, that we're not just robotic. We're not just people without a will just swept along, but He's given us this morning the power of yes and no. Pray for me. Amen.